The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say, they were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, the disciples no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. Then they asked him, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He told them, "Elijah will indeed come first and restore all things. Yet how is it written regarding the Son of Man that he must suffer greatly and be treated with contempt? But I tell you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it is written of him." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Happy frigid morning to everybody. This story of the Transfiguration we will hear in our Gospel in just about 2 weeks, because it's always the Gospel reading. I believe it's the second Sunday of Lent, and whether you like it or not, Lent is almost upon us. So I'm not going to talk about the Transfiguration today, but instead, I'm going to talk to you about the first reading from the letter to the Hebrews, because it's all about the subject of faith. And faith is a subject so big and so important that you cannot possibly overemphasize it. Furthermore, faith is a subject almost universally misunderstood, even by believers. Now, you know how secularists misunderstand faith. You've heard people say, "Well, you know, faith, you know, can't really be proven, so let's not worry about faith. It's just your opinion, and let's focus rather on what we can prove and know. Let's focus on reason, and let's focus on science. After all, science put a man on the moon, so let's trust what we can know." All right. Big misunderstanding of faith right there, but I won't get into that right now. But would you believe that even believers misunderstand faith, and badly? I bet you that there's plenty of believers even right here in this church this morning who misunderstand faith. Thomas Aquinas describes it like this. He says, it's what's called fideism, by which a believer says, "Yeah, I know faith can't really, you know, be proven or understood, so let's not worry about understanding it. Let's just believe, because that's all that matters." Big problem. Misunderstanding. It's called fideism, condemned by Thomas Aquinas. It matters immensely that you understand faith. We want to live as St. Augustine said, "Fides querens intellectum," faith seeking understanding. Why? Because God commanded it, that's why. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, and all of your mind." So we're going to try to understand what faith is. Let me try to help you to do that today, okay? Try to help you to do that today. And here's my most basic understanding of faith. Faith means believing something on the testimony of a credible witness. That's faith. It's not direct sense experience. You didn't see it yourself. You didn't touch it with your own hands. You didn't hear it with your own ears. But you believe it because of the credible testimony of somebody else. And in that sense, all of life is filled with acts of faith. You walk into a doctor's office. You're going to get surgery. You just made an act of faith. You trust that the doctor is trained, you trust that his credentials are real, you trust that he didn't Xerox a fake diploma, something he made on his computer on Photoshop and paste it on the wall. Act of faith. You set foot on an airplane. You make a lot of acts of faith. You trust that the maintenance crew's done their job. You trust that the plane's going where it was advertised to go. You trust that the pilots had proper training. You walk into a classroom. You make an act of faith. Language teacher tells you that this is how a foreign word is pronounced, and you believe them, and that's an act of faith. A history teacher tells you that George Washington spent the winter of 1777 camped at Valley Forge, and you believe him. It's an act of faith. Would you believe that it's an act of faith to trust your own mother when she told you where you were born, or even what your own name is? All these things, most of life is lived on acts of faith. Very little of life is lived on direct sense experience. And can you imagine how dysfunctional life would be if direct sense experience is all we could ever trust, if there was no faith at all? Imagine this. You meet a new person. He walks up to you. He says, hey, nice to meet you. My name's Joe. And you reply, prove it. I don't believe you. Relationships would go nowhere. Relationships would never get started. You can't have a relationship without faith. But if you don't trust what someone else is telling you, how can there be anything else? Now can you see why Paul said to the Hebrews that without faith, it's impossible to please God? Impossible. You can't have love without faith. Because if you don't trust what God told you, how can you trust His commandments? How can there be any generosity? How can there be any sacrifice? How can there be any forgiveness? There can't be any love. Not unless you believe what God said. You can't have any hope without faith. Because if you don't believe what God said, how can you believe Him when He tells you that there's a heaven? And that that's your own true native land, and that we are just pilgrims passing through this world. But most importantly, everything that I've told you up until this point has been an example of a natural understanding of faith. Walking into a doctor's office, setting foot in a classroom, natural understanding of faith. If you want to understand supernatural faith, you have to take one more little step with me. Just one more little step. Because you're tempted to say right now, oh, I think I get it. Faith means trusting God's word because God's trustworthy and He's not going to deceive us. He's not going to be deceived. And you'd be right. But if that's all you thought faith was, you'd lose your faith. You wouldn't persevere. Because there's one more essential step in faith, and that's to understand that it is a gift. It is a gift. God wants more than just creatures who merely execute His commands. If that's all God wanted, He would have made an enormous computer out of the universe and typed in lines of code and hit enter. God wants a relationship. God wants love. The whole universe belongs to God except for just one thing and one thing only, and that's your heart. And only you can give it. God wants love. And that's something that only you can give. And can you see now how when we say that we want more faith, what we really need to do is respond in love to God. Start wherever you are, wherever your faith is. Don't worry about the hardest things. Don't worry about, trying to make sense out of nuclear explosions or school shootings or horrific disasters or earthquakes. Start wherever you are. And say yes to God in faith because you believe Him and because you love Him. And what you discover is that your faith grows. Why? Because God wants your heart. And the moment you give Him your heart, all He wants to do is get more and more and more of it. Like He said to St. Therese, you make of me a capacity, I will make of myself a torrent. And fill your heart with my love. That's the way God works. You see, at a natural level, whatever you give your time to, whatever you give your heart to, you get more of it. You want to get good at playing piano? You want to get good at playing guitar? Give it time. Give it your attention. You'll get better at it. You want to learn a foreign language? Give it your heart. Give it your time. Give it your heart. Give it your practice. You'll get better at it. But what if it's love that you want? Ah, you see how it doesn't really work like that? You can't manufacture it on your own. It has to be a gift. And that's the one thing to understand about faith. Give God the obedience of your heart to whatever you believe, wherever you are, and start today. Give to God, and He will give to you, and your faith will grow. Of course, the greatest example of faith is our Blessed Mother, who said, be it done unto me according to your word. Let's imitate her faith and ask for her prayers today. Mary, Mother of God, pray for us.